Grace and peace to you from God our Heavenly Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text this morning is found in the Old Testament book of Numbers, today reading in chapter 12, verses 1 through 16. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Cushite woman he had married, for he had married a Cushite woman. They said, "Has the Lord really spoken only through Moses? Hasn't he also spoken through us?" The Lord heard this. Now the man Moses was very humble, more humble than anyone else on the face of the earth. Right then the Lord spoke suddenly to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. "You three come out to the tent of meeting." The three of them came out. The Lord came down in a pillar of cloud and stood at the entrance to the tent. He called Aaron and Miriam, and they both came forward. He said, "Now listen to my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision. In a dream, I will speak with him. Not so, however, with my servant Moses. He is faithful in my whole household. With him I speak face to face, clearly, and not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant, against Moses?" The Lord's anger burned against them, and he left. The cloud went up from above the tent, and immediately Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. Aaron turned to Miriam and saw that she was leprous. Aaron said to Moses, "My Lord, please do not hold this sin against us. We have acted foolishly. We have sinned. Please do not let her be like a stillborn infant that comes out of its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away." Moses cried out to the Lord, "God, heal her, please." The Lord said to Moses, "If her father had merely spit in her face, would she not be disgraced for 7 days? Have her confined outside of the camp for 7 days, and after that she can be brought back in." Miriam was confined outside of the camp for 7 days, and the people did not set out until Miriam was brought back in. Afterward, the people set out from Hazeroth and camped in the wilderness of Paran. This is the word of God. Dear people of God, you may be confused as to what happened here. The scholars all argue about exactly what went on, but I don't know if it's that confusing, if you know something about brothers and sisters. Miriam and Aaron were Moses' sister and brother, older sister and brother. Moses was 82 years old, and that makes Miriam 92, 94. Remember, Miriam was the girl who was sent out there to watch Moses in the basket in the reeds. She's the one who spoke to Pharaoh's daughter about that baby that her mother put out there in the reeds. Miriam was also the lady who led the Israelites in singing the praise of the Lord after he delivered them from the Red Sea and the Egyptians. Aaron was Moses' older brother, who was to be his mouthpiece. He spoke to Pharaoh and the people for Moses because Moses was afraid. The Lord had spoken through Miriam and Aaron, and they felt underappreciated. Why is our little brother so favored, so famous? We're a big deal too, him and his Cushite wife. Now this Cushite wife remark is the one that really sets all the scholars off. What does that mean? What happened here? We're told back in Exodus chapter 4 that Moses married a Midianite. Now the Midianites were descendants of Abraham's later wife after Sarah had died. This Midianite woman was Zipporah, who bore Moses at least two sons. We meet her again in Exodus chapter 18, where her father Jethro came to help Moses organize this huge group of people that he was leading. But after Exodus 18, Scripture does not mention Zipporah again. Now maybe Zipporah died, and Moses married this Cushite. That's very possible. Maybe Moses just took a second wife. We've seen the heroes of the Bible do sinful things like that in other places. Or maybe Miriam and Aaron were just fed up and were privately mocking Moses and making fun of him and slanderously calling Zipporah, the Midianite, a Cushite, that is, an African. Was it just a joke? Zipporah was not an Israelite. She wasn't one of them. Maybe this is just an offhanded comment. It's a stern reminder that the Lord is listening to your conversations. The Bible then makes the comment that Moses was the most humble man on the face of the earth. And the Bible deniers here all cry, well, this shows you that Moses could not have written this part of the Bible. Because if he writes that he's humble, then he's not very humble. But we have to remember that this is Holy Scripture. This is inspired by the Holy Spirit himself. If the Spirit told Moses to write down, Moses is the most humble man in the world, then Moses has to write down that he's the most humble man. It does not negate his humility. What it shows is that Moses was standing right there when they said this, when they mocked him, as happens between brothers and sisters. And Moses was too humble to fight his older brother and sister. He was too humble to oppose their mockings. You know that the Lord likes it when we just take the arrows, when we don't fight back. The Lord wants us to just turn the other cheek, like Jesus did. Moses didn't fight back, but the Lord did. Oh. The Lord shows up in the cloud at his tent where he met his people. And you have to see that cloud coming down and enveloping the three of them as the Lord spoke to them. That's right, Miriam. The Lord has spoken through you, and now he's speaking directly to you. And the Lord explains to Miriam and Aaron just what Moses is. The Lord here says that he makes himself known to the prophets. Now let's remember also that Moses is the first of the Israelite prophets. There were none before him. So everything the Lord says here is about the future. When the Lord will make himself known to a prophet in Israel, he was going to use visions and dreams and fuzzy picture language. And that's true if you have read the books of Isaiah or Joel or especially Ezekiel. You know this well. The Lord said things to those prophets that the church has spent centuries trying to figure out. But Moses is totally different. With Moses, the Lord spoke clearly, face to face, like a man speaks with his friend, we are told. He sees the form of the Lord. No, not the whole thing. We remember the story of the Lord showing himself to Moses, how the Lord put Moses in a crack in the rock and then put his hand over Moses as the Lord passed in front of him. Moses didn't get to see the whole Lord, but he saw a lot more than anybody else in the history of the world until, of course, the Lord Jesus came. Miriam and Aaron, we're a big deal too. No, you're not. Moses was not special because of who he was. Moses was special because of what the Lord showed him. And if you want to dishonor the Lord's man, well, then you are dishonoring the Lord, the one who chose to show his man all these things. And then the cloud lifted, and Miriam's skin was white as snow. She had leprosy, which shows you who the ringleader was in this whole thing. And you might say, well, Aaron had it worse because he had to watch his sister suffer for his own sins, but that's not worse. Leprosy is far worse. Leprosy was a blood disease that affected the circulation. It's a disease that is easily curable today by antibiotics, but of course they had none of that. For them, leprosy was a death sentence. A person had anywhere from 6 months to 5 years to live. But in an advanced state like Miriam had, it would have been a couple weeks, even a few days. And Aaron understood that. And that's why he cries out to Moses, Lord, please do not hold this sin against us. We have acted foolishly. We have sinned. Please do not let her be like a stillborn infant that comes out of its mother's womb with its flesh half eaten away. Aaron repents. How different from the Israelites in Numbers chapter 11, after they got the meat that they so desperately wanted. The Israelites said nothing like this. They did not say, Lord, we have sinned. They did not say, Lord, have mercy. But Aaron does. He humbles himself, calling his little brother Moses his Lord, saying that what they were talking about was foolish, talking about what a big deal they were and mocking Moses' Cushite wife. Aaron says those words that the Lord waits and waits to hear his people say, I have sinned. Lord, have mercy on me. I have sinned against God's spokesman. I have sinned against God's word. I have sinned against God himself. Forgive me. And please notice that Moses does not say, ha ha, I win, I'm the greatest. No. That would not make Moses the most humble man in the world, would it? Moses rather immediately prays for his sister. And then the story gets even crazier. The Lord is so mad that he hesitates. He cannot say no to Moses' cry for mercy, because the Lord is mercy. But he also cannot let this sin just go on by without impressing upon everybody how serious this is. And so he brings up this spitting thing. Now, this is not a Bible verse. This is not one of those Old Testament laws that we always find so confusing. The Lord brings up one of their customs, not his customs. Not his law. If her father had merely spit in her face, would she not be disgraced for 7 days? The Lord was trying to fit into their language how he viewed the situation. Now just imagine what it would take for a father to spit into his dear daughter's face. She would have had to have done something that absolutely broke his heart. And you can let your imaginations go wild on this one. But that's what the Lord is saying. Miriam, his spokesperson, broke his heart. She did something that terribly disappointed and offended the Lord, her Savior. Now, it doesn't say it, but we assume that Miriam was healed. Then Moses listens to the word of God, and he puts her out of the camp for 7 days like a spit-on daughter. But then when they bring her back after the 7 days, they bring her back fully into the fold, in full forgiveness and peace, and healed. And then the camp moves forward toward the promised land. But they do not go without Miriam. Now, what in the world does this have to do with us? Quite a bit, I think. See, we are all experts in mockery. It's easy. Sinners are easy targets. And everybody has something. Everybody has something in their closet that they hope that no one in the world knows about. And if you do know what's in somebody's locked closet, then you have the ability to make them feel really small whenever you want to, especially a brother or a sister whose memory goes way, way back. But remember, the Lord is listening. And if you are mocked, like Moses was, it's very natural to reply, to want to lash out, or at the very least, ask the Lord to do it, to avenge your name. But remember, we are to put vengeance and nastiness totally out of our minds. Not let them in at all. When the Lord says, leave it in my hands, really, leave it in his hands and do not try to figure out how to be the Lord's avenger. That's not our job. That's his job. Our job is to forgive. Forgive as we have been forgiven all of these same things. Through the perfect life and through the innocent death of our dear Savior, Jesus Christ. Pray for each other, as Moses did, and not in a condescending way, but really and truly asking for help, asking for the best for other people. And not, Lord, let them get what's coming to them. But rather, Lord, have mercy. Pray like Aaron did. Lord, I deserve what trouble other people have. But have mercy on me and have mercy on them. After all, you are the God of mercy. We sinners ought to treat each other as fellow sinners. That is, not people to condemn or to mock, but people who are fellow souls, who need to be spoken to tenderly and carefully and gently. Be people of mercy and kindness, as the Lord has shown mercy to you. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.